All right, Coach. Coach Bobo, Colorado State, to start us off, just give us kind of a perspective of, I guess, what you're expecting from your team this year. Maybe some of the breakout players, some of the performers you're looking at.
Well, this is year two for me at Colorado State. You know, expectations are pretty clear for our team. We want to try to win our rivalry games. We want to try to win the Mountain West Mountainside, and we want to try to play in the championship game and win that. And then we want to go to a bowl game. Try to beat our opponent in a bowl game, and doing that all in a first class manner. What to expect of your football team? Who we're going to be, breakout players. That's different every year. Your identity is formed throughout spring practice, summer, and then the 29 practices leading up to the first game. I'm excited to see how we're going to come together, how we're going to be as an offense, a defense, and a special team unit, and how we're going to be as one unit. So I think that story is still to be written, and we're just in the process of writing it right now.
Yeah, makes sense. You lost Higgins among other players last year. He was obviously one of the better players in college ball. How do you go about replacing a player?
Well, you don't replace a Rashard Higgins. Caught 75 balls and 1,000 yards last year, 8 touchdowns, 90 balls the year before. We do have quality guys coming back at the receiver position that have played a lot of football and got a lot of experience in ball games, which gives them confidence. And I thought we recruited well last year. So you'll see some old faces mixed in with some new faces. Receiver is a position where young guys can play early. Not a lot is asked of them mentally. Just got to put them in a position to be successful. So, we're a type of offense that's going to spread the ball around, type of offense that's going to be balanced. So I think a number of guys will replace the production, but I don't know if we'll have one guy with as many catches as Rashard did.
Yeah, that is a hard one to replace, right? So you mentioned earlier this is you're going into your second year, just finished the first. Is there anything assuming you've learned a lot, are there any particular lessons you learned, anything you're going to try to do different as you manage the team this year?
Well, I would say, one lesson that I've learned is that you can't accomplish everything in one day. And you're never going to have it figured out. There's going to be something that comes across your desk, on a daily basis that's going to make you go, whoa, I got to handle this, or I got to do this, or I don't know if I have time for this. So I just try to go about my job every day and work extremely hard for Colorado State, the coaches and the players that are there with me. That's pretty much my goal every single day, to try to make Colorado State the best university in the country. As far as figuring it out, you're never going to have it figured out.
Yeah, that's fair. On the field, a couple questions about that. One, your team was near the bottom of the nation, I guess, in the standings and turnover margin, minus 12 last year. Was it something that you think led to that? And then how do you go about correcting that this year?
Well, obviously we're going to practice the fundamentals of taking care of the ball and practice the fundamentals of trying to create more turnovers. That's the number one stat, in my opinion, that determines winning and losing, is the turnover ratio. And to be near the bottom in turnover ratio and still manage to win 7 games and go to a bowl game, that's what I tell our team. If we can cut these turnovers in half, those 7 wins could go to maybe 10 and put ourselves in position possibly to be playing for a conference championship. But, I did read an article the other day that most teams, a high percentage of teams that were on the wrong end of the turnover margin, typically flipped it the next year.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the way the ball bounces.
Right,
you don't want guys to play afraid of throwing the ball in to tight spots, but we got to be smart. And we got to realize that the football is our most prized possession on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And we got to do everything we can to hold on to that ball and take care of it. And then we got to do a great job defensively of trying to create turnovers. But it's really something we worked hard on in spring practice, of trying to create more turnovers defensively and protect the ball offensively.
Yeah, you mentioned it kind of there, but it is kind of a line you have to walk between being aggressive and trying to make plays and being careful. How do you coach that? How do you walk that line?
If you're a guy that's going to put the ball on the ground or throw it into coverage, you're not going to play. That's, you know, so you're looking for guys that are going to take care of the ball. We're going to coach being aggressive. We're going to coach playing hard. You know, and sometimes that leads to sometimes penalties, which we weren't great at penalties. But I'd much rather be number one and number two in penalties than number one and number two in turning the ball over.
Right.
So we got to put ourselves in the right position. You got to put guys on the field that are going to take care of the ball, too.
Yeah, yeah. So specific to Utah State, in the game last year in Logan, the Aggie ground game really hurt you guys. Particularly Myers had a school record rushing yards for quarterback, if I remember right. What went into that?
I forgot all about that. You reminded me.
Sorry to bring that up.
No, in that ball game right there, we turned the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if they had any, but I know we had turnover backed up. We had a turnover going in late in the third quarter that possibly could have tied or brought it to three. We might have been down 10 at that point. You know, we didn't capitalize on opportunities and turn the ball over, and then we could not stop the ground game. You got to take care of the football, and you got to be able to stop the run, and you got to be able to run the ball when defenses know you're going to run the ball to win championships, in my opinion.
Right.
And then the quarterback, you know, he rushed for 199, 200 yards, something like that in that game. Wasn't just explosive plays that hurt us because they hurt us, but it was also explosive plays for touchdowns, big plays that we couldn't get the guy on the ground. You know, he's coming back, which is something we got to get ready for. Did a great job, and you saw that young man's confidence grow throughout the year the more football he played. So he's going to be a hard guy to contain this year, but we got to limit him a little more than we did last year. We'll be staring at the same result.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned the rivals earlier. Regionally, I guess Utah State is probably in that class. But who do you view as the, I guess, your rivals in the conference or in the division?
Well, we got two in the division. You know, they're all rivals. They're all big game. But in our fan base, you know, since I've taken the job, they're like, we got three rival games. You know, three rivalry matchups. Which you got the two in state. I mean, the two in conference in Air Force and Wyoming. You know, the Wyoming rivalry goes back a long time, and it's a
big border war.
Big rivalry for our fan base and theirs. You know, so those two games are huge for our fan base. And then you got the rivalry in-state against CU, which we play September 2nd on the Friday night to kick it off this year. I guess it's Mile High since it's not Sports Authority Field anymore. I don't know what it is, but we play in Denver at the Broncos Stadium.
So what does that do for your program? You guys get excited?
No, you're always excited to start the season, but you open up with an in-state rivalry game that, you know, everybody's passionate about, both sides, besides, you know, the it's split 50-50 down the middle. It was a great environment last year. Something our guys are going to get into and get excited about. But at the same time, it's not going to make or break our season. You know, as you look back on the season, when the season is over, you can talk about how this game is momentum or how it's how you deal with a win or loss after every single game. In that moment, the game's big. It's big. You can't ignore that there's a lot of passion, a lot of excitement for that game. But after that game, and we got to do a great job as a coaching staff, win or lose, of getting ready for the next week. And that's week in and week out, whoever we play.
Right, right. So I guess kind of building on that, last year in non-conference, you split the four games with the two losses coming in overtime. But obviously you still made the bowl game. It didn't, ruin your season. So how do you balance, playing hard and going all out on these non-conference games but not letting it ruin what happened
in conference play? Well, you're going to play hard and go all out in every football game. You know, there were two close calls that a lot of people say we should have won. No, we shouldn't have won. We didn't. We gave the ball away in both those games. Turned it over twice against CU. Turned it over three times maybe against Minnesota. And lost the turnover ratio. So we didn't deserve to win the ball game. But those are lessons learned. And it's your job as a coach week in and week out to talk about what you did good, talk about what you got to improve on, and set the message of how we're going to go about this week to getting ready for the next game. It's hard to do. It's hard to do as a coach. It's hard to do as a player because, you know, you got a lot more media nowadays. You got a lot more access to what people are saying via the internet and your devices. And everybody wants to go back and ask a question about this game or that game throughout the week as you're getting ready. And it's hard for young people. Heck, it's hard for coaches.
Yeah.
So you got to do a great job as a coach to saying, okay, on Monday when you got the team together, here's the message. Here's where we're going to go from here. This is how we're going to get there. You got to tell these guys why. You got to tell them more than once. That's why it's so hard for anybody in college football to win week in and week out and go undefeated. It's hard. It's a hard task, but it's also something that makes college football so exciting.
How has that changed since you played?
Well, a lot. You know, I don't think I got a cell phone in my senior year in college, and it was one of them analog. There wasn't any pictures. They couldn't take pictures, but just. You know, I think it's great for college football, but you can turn on the TV and you can watch a college football game year round. They're all constantly showing replays. They're constantly, all these networks that cover the different conferences, all the, the access via the internet, the whatever you were calling it, Snapchat.
Yeah.
It's just constant information of football and things that get young guys distracted. It's great for football, but during the season, it can get guys distracted when they're focusing about what everybody's saying instead of what we're saying. So we have a saying, kind of good or bad, ignore the noise. There's a lot of noise outside there, good or bad. If things are going good or things, people've got opinions. That's okay. They can have their opinions. That's what makes it great that we've got all this interest and access. But we as a family, we as a group, we got to ignore that noise and focus on what we're saying inside.
Cool. Okay, thanks for your time.
All right, great.